comes in and records those, and we put them on the air. Maybe you heard those this morning. One of the men that frequents our airwaves is Dr. Andy Woods. And we recently had him here in Milwaukee for a rally. And one of the things that Dr. Woods often says is that Israel is a super sign to the world today. It's a time clock to the world today. A super sign. Little bitty Israel getting so much big press. I'm told that Israel, if we could pick it up and move it, we could set it down in Lake Michigan. Did you know that? It's about the size of New Jersey, I'm told. I see it on the map. By the way, there are printing maps now, I'm told, that doesn't even have Israel on it. It's a lying world. It's a deceiving world. What we're seeing in our day, printing maps in Israel is just not even there. Oh, it's so important that we just keep on keeping on, church. Israel is a sign in these last of the last days that God's word can still be trusted. That God is still faithful. That God is still God. That's another reason that to the secularists and to the lying globalists, it's another reason that God's word has got to go. Because it is in the book of Genesis that Israel is born. Okay? We have a great historical record of Israel in the scriptures. Israel born in Genesis. Israel chosen in Exodus. Israel brought nigh to God by blood in Leviticus. Israel proven in Numbers. Israel instructed in Deuteronomy. There's all things happening for Israel in these first five books of the scriptures. And in Joshua, we find Israel being faced with conflict and conquest. Conflict and conquest. What would we title this message today? Israel, you, and me. I see Israel, and I see you as the church. And I see me as a blood-bought, born-again Christian, as we are. That's what the church is. Purchased through Christ, the blood of Christ, and what he did at the cross for us. We're the redeemed ones. The redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Israel, you and me. We face conflict. We celebrate conquest. Israel went in to possess the land. We possess all that Christ has for us. All that he has won for us at Calvary. There are many likenesses here. And we have a better covenant. The writer of Hebrews says that we have a better covenant, church. We might talk about that in just a little bit. A better covenant that is established upon better promises, it says in Hebrews chapter 8. Israel is still without Christ. Israel is still in their blindness. But God has not forgotten Israel. Go ahead, world. Go ahead, globalist. Remove Israel from the map. That doesn't mean it's true. God's the one that establishes all the boundaries. And God is the one that raises up kingdoms and puts down kingdoms. And it is God that laughs at those who mock him and at the heathen that rages. You know, we see, yes, we see Israel being born in the book of Genesis and that progression that we talked about. You and I in Christ have our Genesis where we too were born again. Where we too in Christ have been made nigh through His blood. We who have been chosen in Christ. We that have been, our faith has been proven or tried and tested. We that are instructed by God's Word. And yes, we as the church, like Israel, we face conflict and we celebrate conquest. The victory that is ours through Christ Jesus, our Lord. If we all were to stand and give and rise and give testimony, do we still do that in church? Sometimes give testimony? In the old days, I'm told in the old days, that's what they would always do on Sunday nights in church fellowship. They'd get together and they'd have testimony time. And everybody'd stand up and attest to what God had saw them through the previous week. The victories they had. Maybe some of the losses they had. But all the same, they looked to God in all of it. And we ourselves understand conflict and we understand conquest. We've won some battles, spiritual battles. We've won some, we've lost some. We haven't handled every situation right, but God has remained faithful to us and is there for us when we fail. Amen. There for us when we are confused. There for us when we find ourselves again in something sinful, some sinful thought, some sinful deed or act, and we've got to quickly go to God who loves us and invites us to come unto Him. Confessing to God. If we confess our sins, He is still faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, when God gave Israel, that same Israel, kids that are hearing this message, you hear about Israel in the news and you see them on TV, whatever the case may be, that Israel you're seeing there is the Israel that God has put there. He hasn't forgotten them. That God's giving the land to Israel was an unconditional covenant.
Amen.
It was unconditional. It was for an everlasting possession. Period. End of story. God is not going to change His mind. He never did change His mind. He didn't edit that. He didn't refresh that. He didn't replace that. As so many people say, there's a replacement theology that's taking place. No. God's giving the land to Israel is an everlasting possession. Everybody say everlasting.
Everlasting.
Everlasting possession. Christian, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have
everlasting
life. Hallelujah. Everlasting. It's important to God. He keeps His word. He's faithful. There's a problem though. Even though God gave the land to Israel as an everlasting possession, owning that land, possessing that land was conditional or is conditional. Condition to this, that how Israel would obey the word of God. How Israel obeyed God's word determined how their owning of the land, their possessing of the land would be. I think possessing is the better word. How they possessed the land, how they moved and lived and operated in the land of Israel was all based on how they handled the word. How they obeyed the word. So can we see a correlation in our life? God has given us eternal life through Christ Jesus. He's given us, as we read in the book of Ephesians, He's given us everlasting spiritual blessing. All the time, spiritual blessing. But am I the only one that fails to walk in that all of the time? Am I the only one that misses the mark sometime? That runs low on faith? That gets weary in the race? That gets tired? Just as Israel has the everlasting possession of the land, the unconditional covenant, we as Christians are told, Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, to lay hold on eternal life. It is a gift to you and a gift to me. We can lay hold on this, knowing that He has a hold on us. Amen? Yours and my salvation is a gift, our everlasting possession. And you and I can say what we want. The world, the media can say what they want about Israel. Yes, they are without Christ. But God has kept His word to them. And He keeps His word to us. And we do have that better covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 talks about a better covenant. Covenant is that agreement, coming together in an agreement, a solid covenant, something that is a better covenant based upon better promises that we have fulfilled through Christ. Talk about Joshua for a moment, and then we're going to read. Joshua was a great general. A great general. A former slave to Pharaoh. At 40 years old, the time of Israel's exodus. 80 years old when he took over after Moses passed. Someone said, he was 80 years old? Yeah, what's your excuse? I'm too old to do anything anymore for God. That doesn't appear to be the case here. Joshua died at the age of 110. In the Hebrew, I read that his name means Jehovah saves. That's what Joshua means in Hebrew. And in the Greek, Jesus, Savior. Joshua is a type, if you will, a type of Christ in His name and in His work. In His name and in His work. He was a man of great courage. Christian, I pray that you will be a man, woman, boy, girl of great courage in the day in which we live. Be one of great courage. Joshua had great faith. Church, we have a great faith given to us by the Almighty God. Joshua was a great leader. He knew how to lead, obviously, as he followed God. Joshua had enthusiasm. Boy, I need some more of that. Because there are some mornings, sister, that enthusiasm I must have slept too long or something. I don't know. But he had enthusiasm. He was a man of his word. Joshua had fidelity. These are things that ought to be hallmarks of the church today. And surely it is. Surely everything describes of Joshua here, surely that's the picture of every single born-again believer in every church today. Sarcasm inserted. I'm using some sarcasm there. Because I know that I have so much room to grow in all of those things. I want to grow in leadership, in being able to lead my family, my almost grown family, by the way, my wife and my kids. And someday grandkids. I want to be that leader that I can be. I want to have that great courage. And church, if we fail to have these things, We have a biblical record to see what happened to Israel when they lacked all of these. It's not good. And we see how they were granted all of the land, but yet failed to ever possess it all. Israel has failed to ever possess all that was given to them. What a thought. What a humbling thought. That as Christians, we are promised, Ephesians 1, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Promise that. Ephesians chapter 1. We're promised these things. We're given the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6. But we're letting the world and the flesh and the devil beat our heads off. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Belt of truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shield of faith, the word, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. We have all of it. What is our excuse? Why lose the battles? God says we don't have to. And I say that humbly because we're never going to do it in our own strength. We're never going to do these things in our own strength. But with Him. And that closeness that we have with Him, that God desires, that Christ won for us at Calvary, we can have these things. It's all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes. God is still building His church. Yes. And Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Matthew 16, praise the Lord. And that's happening. That's going on. And nothing's going to change that. But then we ourselves, I have some work to do. I have some things that I need to pray more about. I need to lay more things down at the foot of the cross. Me must decrease. He must increase in my life. And if we're all honest here this morning, each one of us can say the same thing. Brothers and sisters, think about this. We have all of these ministries in the nation today. Let's just look at America right now. We have all of these Christian ministries. We have all of these Christian books. We have all of these Christian radio stations and television stations and universities. But have you looked around lately? Have you seen the things that are breaking God's heart that are happening in just the church itself? The things that ought not to be? The lukewarmness that God surely sees and has spoken of in the book of Revelation when He sees that Laodicean church and He says, I will spew thee from my mouth for the very lukewarmness that He saw in His people. It made God sick. And yet I understand what lukewarmness means. I like coffee. But I like hot coffee. Okay? I mean, the hotter the better. I'll sit there and let it breathe for a little bit. And then as soon as I can get at it, I'm ready to drink that coffee. But I don't like coffee that's been sitting on the table for 3 hours. Yuck! Right? Now, I know that there's a trend, and some of you may like this cold coffee thing that's going on, you know? Cold coffee they charge you more for some reason. I don't know. The cold coffee, and that's pretty popular. A lot of people like that. And you remember in the scripture there in Revelation, God says, I would rather that you be hot or cold, but not this lukewarm stuff. Remember that? This lukewarm. Give me that hot coffee every time. That is a picture. That is a picture of what God desires of His people, that we would fervently be serving Him, passionately, wanting the instructions, wanting to know what thus saith the Lord. What does the Lord say? Joshua chapter 4. I've been doing a lot of talking, a lot of preaching here. You know, before I read this, if you and I are losing spiritual battles, and we do. If we are losing to our enemies, our spiritual enemies, we need to get back to the instructions. We need to get back to our first love. That's the instruction of John the Revelator and the revelation of Jesus Christ as we read those scriptures in Revelation. The victory has already been promised us through Christ. Just like Israel was given the possession of the land, they failed to possess it all. Help us, Lord. Now, just to set the scene here for where we are in Joshua chapter 4. In Joshua chapter 1, there is a commission given and a command. Moses had passed. It was time for Joshua and Israel to get going somewhere, to cross the river Jordan, to get moving and go and inherit the land that had been promised to them. Chapter 2, there was the work that the spies did, and Rahab the harlot was there. Chapter 3 is the crossing to Jordan. Just setting the scene here. Chapter 4 is what took place there with the crossing of the Jordan, and we see the construction of two memorials. It just so happens that tomorrow is Memorial Day here in our country, right? We sang some wonderful patriotic hymns. God shed His grace on this nation without a doubt. He raised her up for a purpose, and He'll use America for those purposes until He's finished with it. And boy, from the looks of things, He must be about finished with it. Unless He gives us space to repent. Unless He gives America another round of repentance that we so desperately need, because we are biting the hand that feeds us every day in this country. We're biting the hand that feeds us every single day. But you know the story, and if it's been a while, I would encourage you, like I have recently been doing, I encourage you to get back in here. Start with chapter 1 and go back and see what has led Israel to this point, and then see what we can glean from this. But at chapter 4 of Joshua, the memorial of the crossing, two memorials are here being built. It came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan. How far over the Jordan? Completely. They were completely crossed over the Jordan. The Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe. Command them, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, taking those stones out of the river Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. Joshua said to them, 'Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day, or at this point, at the time of this writing. So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hastened and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. I'll stop for just a moment. Remember us talking here about in chapter 4, Israel would immediately begin with their being faced with both conflict and conquest. Okay? The land is theirs for the taking, but there's going to be battles in this. But God is with them. Verse 13, about 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. That's Joshua chapter 4. It's nice to hear that telling once again, and just to be reminded of God's faithfulness and how he got them across. We so often hear about God parting the waters at the Red Sea that Israel could go through. Remember, we hear about that, and we think of the TV movie and Moses as, you know, parting the water. It was God that was parting the water and doing all of that. And yes, that's nothing short of the hand of God. But many who have been studying this much longer than I have believe that this parting of the Jordan River was even more miraculous. And we can study this out, and I encourage you to study this out on your own, and just to see what it was that God there did. And the thing that we glean from this is it's interesting that these memorials were made. They were there for a reason, church. God had a reason for this. And it wasn't necessarily, it was for, but it wasn't just for those adults at the time, but it was for those children. It was something that the children could look back to and remember what God there did. And as we've already stated here this morning, and I'm soon to wrap up here, in our Christian life, very sadly, even as born-again children of God, we can have short memories. And we can so quickly forget the waters or the troubles that God has removed from our lives that has gotten us to the point we are today. Some of you are going through some things right now that you would just as soon not be going through. It could be a physical battle. It could be a financial battle. It could be a worry for a loved one, a child, whatever the case may be, and you've got these bitter waters before you. Let us not forget those times back there that God was faithful to see us through. Brother Doug, I'll use our conversation, our short conversation here just a few minutes ago. Before service started, and I appreciated that because he said, you know, I don't necessarily like everything I have to go through, right? As Christians, let's be honest, let's be transparent about it. Job was very honest with his feelings to God, with God. We don't necessarily have to like everything that we see or go through, but the fact is we're not going through it alone. Amen. We're not. He's promised to be there with us. And what possibly, church, what possibly could these two memorials that Israel was instructed, commanded by God through Joshua, what possibly could these memorials mean to the New Testament church today? What possibly could these mean? 12 stones were placed into the water. These speak for us of the death of Jesus. His sacrificial death on the cross. His burial. Like those old stones under the water, under, dead, underneath. We have a picture of our Savior. 12 stones taken out of the Jordan and put on the west bank of the river. That represents our risen Savior and His resurrection from the dead. That we can see our living Christ in these Old Testament. You see that picture? How there was a pattern set then that we can serve us as a reminder today. Now, if you and I see 12 stones somewhere or 25 stones, it's not going to remind us, but we're the New Testament church. We have a better covenant. We have better promises, and I need to see nothing more than the cross of Jesus Christ to be reminded of what He there did. We do not worship the wooden beams, but we do remember what He there did for us. And like Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. Christ that lives in you. And the life which we now live in the flesh, we what? We live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Israel was instructed to make these memorials, these two different memorials representing the deliverance of God at an impossible time. And then he said, tell the kids, tell the children, instruct the children. Hey, First Baptist, instruct the children. Hey, Dalton Windsor, instruct the children. We are to teach our children the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, of course you're going to amen that. This is, it's easy I'm preaching to choir. It's easy to talk about that here. And then there's the reality of going out in the world and making it happen. It is ours to give the gospel. It is ours to go forth with the good news. We are to teach our children the gospel. This is our responsibility as parents. It's our responsibility as the church. The church and the home working side by side. You still have this here in New Berlin. Praise God for it. We still have these opportunities in America for a little bit longer anyway. Let us praise God for it. And let us pray that God would give us that fervency we need once again to be that anything but lukewarm in our Christian life. But that we would be, as the illustration is, that we would be hot for the things of God, not lukewarm. That God and His commission to us, we could meet the challenge with courage and faith and leadership. Amen? All of these things that we've seen working in the man of God here. And lastly, remember this. It's not your performance. It's not your academic level. It's He that went before us. We have this memorial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who went before us. When we study that out, when we unpack that, we just read through the chapter 4, but when we unpack that, the Ark of the Covenant went first, being carried by the priests. And I believe, you check me on this, I believe they went, the Word of God, the Ark of the Covenant, the Word, that's Christ, went forth about a mile ahead. You can check me on that. I think it was about a mile ahead before everyone else crossed over. That Ark of the Covenant, Christ went before us, paying the price, His death, burial, and then His glorious resurrection. He has already done this. Christ has gone before us. He's with us through death and this life. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, remind us of these foundational truths and help us to seek You, to be who You want us to be today, right here in New Berlin, Wisconsin, and then through missionaries around the world. He's doing it. You're a part of it. Hallelujah. And someday, if God would grant us, I don't know why we would want to look back, Brother Mark. I don't know why we would want to look back on our time here on earth, except but to see the miraculous things God was doing then that would serve us then as a memorial to all that God delivered us from our sin and from the world and all that we've battled. We'll have some memorials ourselves we can look back on and see the victory was through Christ all the time.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. From 1 Peter chapter 3. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. If you're here today, you're born again, Christ is your Savior, heaven is your home, this world is not. But you know that you've not been following as closely as you know you can. as you should and even as you know you want to be. Do precious business with God right there where you sit as we pray. Father, we've given the message. We could but scratch the surface on all that you've done for Israel, through Israel. But Lord, we're the church. And we have been given better promises, a better covenant than those even that were back there in Israel's day. We're the New Testament church. And Lord, when I look at myself and I look at this world, Lord, I'm depressed. But Lord, when I look at you, I'm encouraged. I am strengthened. I am made alive again. When I take my focus off myself, I take my focus off the things of this world, when I take my focus off what others may or may not be doing, and I simply look at you, you and all of your holiness and all of your love and all of your grace and all of your mercy and all of your truth. And suddenly I settle back down and I just want to stay there. Stay in this place before you. So thankful to be your child, forgiven, made new, made alive by your Spirit. I know that many of my brothers and sisters here today know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're here listening today, you're here with us as we pray, and you don't know the Lord. Can I tell you what the Scripture says is that today is the day of salvation. Right where you sit, right where you stand, you can call on Jesus Christ. Just call on His name in your heart, in the quietness of your heart, where you are. Say, Lord, if I were to die today, I do not know that I would be able to come to heaven where you are. Sir, ma'am, I tell you that God would have you to know that you can be forgiven today, not based on anything you have done, but what Christ paid for at that cross of Calvary, where He gave His life, shed His innocent, sinless blood for sinners like me and sinners like you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is the gift of God is eternal, everlasting life through Jesus Christ, the Lord. God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. You can call on Christ today. Call on Jesus today. He will meet you right where you are. And you can begin again. Begin new. A new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new because Jesus lives. Because as the song said, there is victory in Jesus. Listen, you've tried everything else. You've been everywhere else. You've done everything you could. It left you empty. It left you wanting. Christ knows what your needs are, and He'll meet you right where you are. Father, do this precious business in our hearts today. And then, Father, we lift up our pastor to you. And not just our pastor, but also Sister Maureen. We thank you for them. And Lord, I am so glad that you're strong when we are not. I'm so glad that you're the master physician and that you reign on high and that you know every fiber of our being and that we can call on you morning, noon, and night. And that you know our inward parts. And you know this flesh, you created it. Father, for Pastor's vision, I'm thankful that he has spiritual vision. But for the flesh and the physical vision, Lord, we've prayed. We lift him up to you. And for Sister Maureen, what is cancer to you, Lord? What is it to you? It's a lot to us. What is it to you? We lift up our brother and sister to you once again. We continue to pray for them. I know they need our prayers and appreciate our prayers. And I know most importantly that you hear them. You hear us when we pray. In Jesus' precious name, and all the church says.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, God bless you. Keep on keeping on, and let's give the Lord all the praise.
Alright guys, let's stand and sing All That Will Be Glory. Let's sing all three verses on 539. Why don't you stand and sing? 539.
Go in his name.
Yes.
God bless you.